Here's the latest thing. Ivanka Trump, President Trump's daughter, has a clothing line at Nordstrom's, which is a very expensive department store. Apparently, Nordstrom says sales of Ivanka Trump's clothing is not going well. Sales are down, and they're going to discontinue her clothing line. A business decision. The president of the United States, quote unquote, Donald Trump, gets up in front of the nation when he's addressing something else, and he starts maligning Nordstrom's for dropping his daughter's clothing line as a business decision. He calls Nordstrom's terrible. I laugh because it's so painfully awful. Then Trump's one of his senior advisors in the White House, Kellyanne Conway, you know her. That's like giving somebody a gun and Kelly pulled the trigger. Kellyanne Conway goes on Fox and Friends, which is a weird concept in itself. She goes on Fox and Friends and she expresses her anger against Nordstrom's and the way that the president feels that his daughter has been hurt. And she says, I think it's a wonderful clothing designing line. I buy the clothes and everybody should go to Nordstrom's and buy her clothing. Nobody in the White House quite understands you can't do that. You can't legally at all do that. Can you answer me something? Is this an alternate universe, like an alternate truth or an alternate fact? What's going on here? Did the Earth start spinning in the opposite direction? I don't even understand this. I think I'm going to come up with a clothing line myself. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to sell it at Nordstrom's. It's going to be a clothing line of men's white soiled underpants. Yep, based on exactly what's happening to mine right now.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
Please don't.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I don't know what I like anymore, to be honest with you.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Seriously?
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you. Welcome to the program. Thank you, Julie. How are you, everybody? You doing well? You doing okay? All right. Are we going to have a good time today or what, huh? Are we going to have a good time? You bet we are. All right. All right. Okay. All right. How long does this go on for? Is it over yet? No more sound effects. No, no. Stop. Stop it. That's enough. Oh, God. Oh. no, no, come on, that's enough. No, that's enough. Stop it. Oh, come on. All right, okay. All right, no, stop. Okay. All right, all right, wait a minute, stop it. Stop laughing. Oh, man, that was exhausting. I have no time left. Oh, my God, in the Northeast, OMG, in the Northeast, an incredible snowstorm. Ooh, were you buried? Were you buried alive by this snowstorm? Holy crap. Whenever there's a major snowstorm in the area, we do this show out of the Boston area, by the way. Those of you who are listening in Hawaii, you think you're big stuff, right? Because you don't get any snow. Yeah, well, you pay a lot more for your goods than I do because it has to be flown in. So don't get high and mighty on your little horsey. All right. Maybe the almonds are cheap, but that's about it. I immediately turned to the Old Farmer's Almanac, which is what any sensible person would do after a snowstorm. Some people shovel themselves out. I go to the Old Farmer's Almanac to see if they screwed up or not. That's my mission in life, is to prove that people screwed up. And I'm having a very easy time of it these days. Yeah, the area that I protrude in, where the studio is we got about, I'd say, 13 inches of snow. Yep. And of course, because I'm a white man, I'm exaggerating. It's probably only 9 inches. Nonetheless, a lot of snow. And so I turned to the Old Farmer's Almanac. And you know the Old Farmer's Almanac is written by a bunch of, you say it with me, old farmers. Let me tell you something. If you're walking around all day slopping pigs, and I don't know what that verb means, to be honest with you, feeding the chickens, pulling on the cow, picking the cotton, grazing the wheat, frisking the bear. I don't know. These sound like very strange sexual acts, don't they? Some of which I think I've actually done by mistake. This is all old farmers have to do. I mean, if you're out on the field and you're hoeing the chickens and things like that, man, you know, what else are you going to do but just say, you know, farming, yeah, it's kind of boring. I wish I could predict the weather. Well, they did. They wrote a book. It's been around for a long time. It's called The Old Farmer's Almanac. Now, there's actually also another book called The Farmer's Almanac. It's kind of like the New and the Old Testament in a way. They're two separate books. They seem connected, but only by the fact that they're farm. What is it with farming that makes you want to forecast the weather? Is there something that is like pulling on an udder of a cow kind of puts you in the direction of forecasting the weather? What is it that puts them in? Why? So I looked up the Old Farmer's Almanac. And here's what I see. February 1st to February 4th. Sunny, very cold. Well, it was sunny, but it wasn't all that cold. February 5th to 9th. Now, the 9th was the day of this big snowstorm called Nico, I believe it was. Nico, something like that. The 9th was the date of that. February 5th to 9th, the Old Farmer's Almanac says, rain, then sunny. Okay, now we're off considerably because on the 9th there was a huge snowstorm. But then, February 10th to 15th, snowstorm, then sunny, then cold. That's what this happened. Snowstorm, getting sunny, freaking cold. The rest of February looks pretty good. February 16th to 19th, snow to rain. I can handle that. Snow to rain means that's not a lot of snow. If you're going to change to rain, what are we talking about? February 20th to 23rd, sunny and warm. That sounds wonderful to me. And February 24th to 28th, rain, then sunny, then cold. I can handle all of that. So that's your Old Farmer's Almanac. I don't know what you're going to do with that information, if you find it interesting or not. I'm just saying, I just pulled out my Old Farmer's Almanac, she said. Okay, let's get to the main conversation today. There's going to be two conversations that we shall be having today. We're going to talk about how the Trump presidency has ended friendships. And you may say, that sounds very small of people to do. Not necessarily. And then we're going to talk about Betsy Voss. Of course, no, she's not the one that put together the first American flag. No, that's Betsy Ross, you asshole. This is Betsy Voss. She's a new education secretary. I thought an education secretary was the person that filed things in the file cabinet, but apparently the secretary runs all of education. Let's talk about that first, actually. Betsy Voss was approved by the House and Senate, all that kind of crap, to be the education secretary. Let me tell you a little bit about her, if I may. She never went to public school, ever. She never taught in public school, ever. She never worked in a public school, ever. And she never sent her kids to public school, ever. She, and in her entire lifetime, literally, has not stepped foot in a public school. Guess what? She's the education secretary of the United States. You fucking asshole, Trump. What the hell is wrong with you? You're doing everything the opposite. What possible knowledge does she have of our country's educational system if she never stepped foot in it? Betsy, 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 Betsy. Here's something else she did, which might give you a clue as how she became the education secretary. She apparently gave millions of dollars to the campaign of senators' campaigns. In other words, she donated millions of dollars to them. She donated millions of dollars to Republican causes. She is one of the heavier private donors. Of course, she had a lot of money. That's why her kids never went to public school and why she never went to public school, because they were rich bitches, which is exactly what Trump supporters look for, to support the rich bitches. That was the idea, right? That's why you voted in a billionaire into the White House, right? Is that why you did that? Yeah. Someone you could connect with who felt the way that you did just because he said so. But did you ever notice he lives in a palace in a tower with gold leaf furniture with a model that he imported through a magazine? Did you notice any of that stuff? That he buys his way into things, bullies his way through business to get what he wants. Did you notice any of that stuff? Or you just heard that he stood in front of a microphone and started saying the stuff that you want to hear? Oh, I see. So that's how Betsy Voss apparently became education secretary. She bought her way into it. These are favor jobs. What President, quote-unquote President Trump is doing is he's handing out the favors now and making people certain positions because they helped them out. It's the very thing that he was criticizing Hillary Clinton about, handing out favors to people that helped her out. It's like, Donald, you're doing none of that yourself right now, right? Yeah. And speaking of Donald, you know, he's wrapped up in this battle with the courts. He has chosen to take on the judicial system and call them so-called judges if they disagree with the president's opinion. Interestingly enough, the appeals court has upheld the ban on the ban. Trump's travel ban is still not effective, and was ruled that it still can't happen. So Trump is taking this to the Supreme Court, you see. Let me just clue you in on something, Donald. I'm not the president. I've never been to the White House, but I do know something. If you just sat down with some smart people and rewrote your travel ban specifics, you could institute that travel ban right now today. All you have to do is do some rewriting. Allow people into the country that have green cards, for example. That wasn't specified in your travel ban because your travel ban was so stupidly written without any specifics or directives. If you just change that aspect of it about the green cards, then I think you'd be okay with your travel ban. But will he do that? No. Do you know why he won't? Because he's going to be damned if anybody defies his executive order as originally written. No matter how stupid it may be, he's going to stand behind what he originally signed and not change one word. If you change some words, Donald, you could have your travel ban right away. But you're stubborn. You're spiteful. You're revengeful. Welcome to America. It's a pleasure. Thanks, Don. This is blowing my mind. I think it's done on purpose. There is some kind of scheme afoot to just make everybody so shockingly numb that while we're sleeping and in some type of a frozen mental state, this guy Trump is going to take over everything and deport everybody. And he'll be the only one left with the people that he likes. Something's afoot. I don't know what it is. But this is the person that was chosen. And she was chosen, it was 50-50 as far as her approval is concerned. Guess who was the deciding vote? The Vice President of the United States makes the deciding vote if it's a complete split draw. So now she's the Education Secretary, which is freaking amazing. And in a bolder step, the White House is considering dropping the position of Education Secretary because there's no need for it. I kind of agree with that part of it because I don't think there is a need for it. I think the states can well take care of their educational needs based on what the state needs to do. I don't think it has to be a federal thing. I do think that that is a waste of stupid money. But Betsy, I kind of wish you were Betsy Ross, to be honest with you, but apparently you're not. Education is I've talked about this on the show before. You're not going to like what I'm going to say about this. I did attend public school, and I did go to college, and I did teach a little bit as well. Nobody learned anything, but I did teach a little bit. It wasn't in the public school system. It was pole dancing. But, you know, a teacher's a teacher, let's face it. By the way, passive pole dancing, you don't have to flip upside down on a pole. You just hold on to the pole in one hand and you just walk around it. And a little bit to the music, not much. You just have to shake your ass just a bit. It's not real strenuous, but it's an art form. Anyway, I believe education is somewhat a scam. And what happened was education became privatized and became a business, and like everything else, became scammable. Here's what it is. Public school, very pure. It should be handled by the state, of whatever place you live in, tailored to your state needs. And you go to school to learn the basics, how to read, how to write, although that's not necessary. It should be how to type, and arithmetic. Not arithmetic, just arithmetic, because we shorten all our words these days. Maybe a little science thrown in just so you understand that the way things really work around you, that's important to know. Although I believe one trip to the Museum of Science in the nearest large city is probably a good enough education, but that's just me. Education should remain very, very basic, and it should help a child understand what they want to do in life, which direction they wish to go in. A child can achieve that way. Public education should also help them out because we don't have parents anymore. So the school system has to become your parents. I'm a little against that, but I certainly understand what we've done to ourselves. So if you're smart enough to make it through school from kindergarten all the way up to high school, you've got yourself a basic education. And it has nothing to do with the curriculum or the expertise of the teacher necessarily. It has to do with the freaking child. If the child doesn't want to learn, the child's not going to learn. If the child wants to learn and have an open mind, the child will learn. There are some sucky teachers. There are some sucky people. There are more sucky students. The trick is to train a child to have a thirst for knowledge. That's the whole trick, nothing but the trick. Then we get into college. That's where the scam begins. College, to me, is nothing but you give me $30,000, I'll give you a diploma. You can sit there and drink all day. You can do your drugs. You can screw everything that moves on campus. You don't have to show up for class. You give me $30,000 a year. I give you a diploma. Thank you. Have a nice day. That's what you call liberal arts. I'm serious, man. That's what you call a bachelor's degree in nothing. Argue with me if you will, but I'm right. There's a college nearby where my studio is in a town called Norton, Massachusetts. It's called Wheaton College. I think it used to be for girls at one point. Now it's for everybody because you can't really do that anymore. And the annual fee for going to Wheaton College, which is room, board, and tuition, is just a shade over $60,000. It's about $63,000 a year to attend Wheaton College. I know you've never heard of it. Most people haven't. It's not a huge campus at all. It's not even a university. It's a freaking college. I'm not saying it's a good college. I'm not saying it's a bad college. I'm saying it's $63,000 a year. If I were a parent still at my age, I would basically have to spend the rest of my life on the toilet because this is just absurd. And it's not so much the kids, it's the parents who insist that their children have to go to these higher places of education with a big name on it. They will spend $63,000 a year for their kids' education. When you can go to a state university school in most states and pay around $15,000 to $20,000 a year, which is still a lot of money, but it's one third of the cost. And you get the same damn piece of paper, just has a different college name on the top. That's all. Now, if you want to be a doctor or a lawyer or something of that ilk, then you have to go to a prestigious school because it sounds better. Although I'll tell you something, my doctor went to a medical school that I've never heard of. Actually, in a town that I've never heard of. Someplace in the Midwest, I don't know all the towns there. That's where she went. She got her diploma. She does fine. I'm sure they teach just as well out there. They have the same information as Harvard does. It's not like Harvard and Yale and Princeton, only these schools have that kind of information. No, all the schools have the same information. It's really, and the professors at Harvard and Yale and Princeton, they don't even teach. They're just on the payroll to make the school sound good. If you've written some books or some academic manuals or something, you're on the payroll just to have your name connected to the school. You never lift a finger. You never stand in front of a class. And if you do, it's because you don't know that you don't have to. No, usually it's some associate professor that's teaching all those highfalutin colleges where you're paying $60,000, $70,000 a year. You've been taken, you've been swindled, you idiot. Yet there are some parents that insist on the best for their child. No, actually, all you're doing is insisting on the most expensive for your child. Somebody's going to have to pay that stuff. And when I hear stories of children coming out of college without yet securing a job, and they owe $80,000 in tuition fees that they have to pay off for most of their life, I'm kind of wondering how smart anybody is doing this thing. How smart is the student? How smart are the parents? Open your eyes. You can get an education almost anywhere. Do you know who makes the most money? My plumber. My plumber makes a fortune. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I don't know what happened when the pilot light goes on my gas water heater. I'm not sticking a match in there. I ain't blowing up. I call the plumber. When there's a leak, I call the plumber. When I have no hot water, I call the plumber. When my air conditioning system is not cooling as much as I like it to cool, I call the plumber. I call the plumber for a lot of things. Not all the time, but when I do, for that sucker just to walk through my door, it's $150. That's if they don't do anything. If they do something, the bill starts going up from there. My plumber knows what the hell my plumber's doing. My electrician knows pretty much what to do too. My electrician, I need an electrician. I'm not touching that stuff. I understand you can get quite a little buzz off of that stuff if you touch the wrong wires. No, I ain't doing that. I'm calling an electrician. I don't think my electrician and my plumber went to Harvard or Yale or Princeton. They didn't really even have to go to a college at all. They had to be an apprentice to somebody that knew what they were doing. They went on calls with them, service calls. They observed. Sometimes they actually did the job in the eyes of the professional, would stand there and instruct them. That's learning on the job, actually being on the job, not sitting in the classroom being taught about something that could happen when you get a job. When you're an apprentice, you are on the job. You are there. You are in people's basements, putting your hands up people's wires. You're doing stuff. And then very shortly after that, you can charge $150 to walk through somebody's door. And then some. Some of the largest salaries are commanded by people with skills. People who do stuff. Who use their hands, use their brains, and therefore have their own business eventually in that particular industry. So don't come yelling to me that, Iran, you don't know what education is. You got it all wrong. I don't know, man. I think vocational technical schools rule. They're teaching you stuff. They're teaching you skills that other people don't have. That's what you need. I'm not saying the colleges are raw deals, but I'm going back to my thesis. You give me $30,000, I'll give you a diploma. No questions asked. We don't talk. We don't show up. It's all you have to do. Other thing that I have against college is college life. You raise your children to be good, honest, decent, moral people. I hope you do, and I hope they are. And then you send them to college. And it all goes through the crapper. The guy's roommate, the girl's roommate, is doing drugs. Let's party all night. I've got 50 friends coming in. We're going to be smoking pot off of your navel. Guy next door wants to screw you every 10 minutes. Let's have sex. Let's party. Let's party. You try to study, you try to do your homework to study for the test or whatever in the class the next day, and All you hear is a loud party music, people jumping off the balcony, pouring schnapps down their nose, playing with each other's pants, stealing goats from the local farm, I don't know. Just doing everything you can do because for the first time in your life, you're on your own and under the influence of everybody around you who is exactly your age and far more foolish than you are. How can a parent really, really, in their mind, feel that they're sending their kids to a place of higher education? You're sending them to a place to be socially demoralized. College life is not the real world. College life is just pulling your pants down and having fun for 4 years and seeing what you can get away with. And you're paying for it. So don't give me this education stuff. There's a lot more to it. Think smart, do smart. The best thing that a teacher or a parent can possibly do for their child is put them in a mode of wanting to learn, of being curious, of opening their mind to knowledge, listening to people, soaking it in, getting inspired. That's what education is. There's plenty of education in the streets and in the home and in the classroom. But as soon as we turn it into a business, that's one area that I feel we all get screwed in a royal situation. Okay, that's enough of me. Yeah. Yep. Let's talk about getting our kids in the proper frame of mind for education, shall we?
Hey, good morning, Ron.
Hey, John, how are you doing today?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing very well. John Williamson, for those that don't know, that haven't met you just yet, he's the vice president of AP at the College Board. And AP stands for Advanced Placement, for those that may not know the short terms for things. And we've talked about this before, that it's a good idea if you can handle it. Now, not every, and let's say what advanced placement courses are first.
Sure, Ron. Advanced placement courses are college-level courses that students take while in high school. It exposes them to a world of the college curriculum, mm-hmm. and they get to take those courses with the support of their local classroom teacher who can really guide them and help them throughout the year.
Now, these classes are beyond the regular workload or in place of certain other classes during the school day?
Many schools allow students to meet graduation requirements through the advanced placement courses. So it's
sense.
A good way to, you know, to fulfill a high school graduation requirement and also get the opportunity for college credit.
Okay. Now, what if a child says to themselves and the parents say that, well, I don't want to make high school any tougher for my child than it is, want them to graduate at the top of their class by not over-challenging them, because if they get into an AP course and they're over-challenged, then their ending scores aren't as great. How would you answer that?
College admissions officers really look for students who've challenged themselves in high school, mm-hmm. and AP is a great way to do that. So for students who are looking for that competitive advantage
gotcha.
In the college admissions process, AP is the place to do it, the place to actually show what you can do.
Right.
What we often see, though, is that many students don't take any AP courses in high school, and we know that there are many students who have the potential for AP and are ready for that challenge and should take advantage of it.
Okay, but I mean, your point is well taken that when you're sitting when they're looking at your eligibility for a certain college, if you've taken AP courses, whether whether it was a top of the class or not, that shows what they want. Someone who challenges themselves no matter what the outcome sometimes.
Exactly. AP students stand out in the college admissions process, that's for sure.
Okay. Yeah. And that's important to stand out, obviously, when you're going through something like that. Okay. Are there different levels of AP courses or AP courses?
There are 38 different AP courses across a variety of subject areas. Uh-huh. We have courses that appeal to nearly every student. There are courses in studio art, computer science, English, history, the sciences, so many different choices that students can pick from, okay. and opportunities to challenge themselves and match their interests with their own skills and provide a way okay. to just succeed in high school and challenge themselves.
Okay, so if you're going to take an AP course and you're considering that, choose that AP course in the subject matter in which you're fairly proficient already.
That's certainly one approach. But what we also encourage is that students talk to their college counselors uh-huh. because the college counselors really can help guide them in which AP courses are best for them based on their future intended major or their own skills and interests that they have now.
Okay. All right. Very good. And what about after college? Does that show up in a job interview? I mean, because you know what? To be honest with you, just between you and me, I mean, there are a lot of college graduates. Sometimes all you need is a piece of paper, and you pay for that, and you know, whatever. But when you're interviewing for a job, when you're fresh out of college, do they look to see if indeed you challenged yourself?
What I believe is that our AP courses actually prepare students for both college and career. Students who are in AP courses gain skills in critical thinking, problem solving, mm-hmm. collaboration, communication, skills that you and I use every day, Ron. And so those AP courses really prepare students for life beyond college.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in other words, if you're at a job interview and you've just come out of college or whatever the case may be, you should mention to the job interviewer that, and in high school, I was an AP student. That helps, I guess.
That helps demonstrate that you have those skills,
right.
problem-solving, critical thinking, things that make you successful in the workplace.
Right. It also means that you have the drive to better yourself continually.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Okay. So the best thing to do is to talk to your counselor. And, of course, we're not talking to kids here. We're talking to the parents. So the parents need to have a discussion with their children about this possibility. How do you best handle something like that?
Ron, now is the time to have that conversation. This is the time that students are making course selections for next school year. Many sophomores and juniors are thinking about college choices, mm-hmm. and this is the time for parents, grandparents, family members to actually sit down and have those important conversations to encourage students to take advantage of the opportunity that AP provides,
yes.
to challenge themselves, to think about college and being ready for that first-year experience, to have that AP advantage, that leg up on other students who may not have taken AP.
Yeah. And psychologically, it's good for a student to feel like they're getting a leg up, isn't it? You know, if they just go through their school life and they're just average like everybody else, that's fine and dandy. But when you put yourself out front a little bit, you kind of feel better about yourself too, don't you?
There are so many success stories, Ron, about students who have gone through AP courses, who may have been shy, and now they are the class president. I mean, it really does help students empower themselves, both in terms of skill and their own development.
Excellent. And you don't have to be president of the United States to actually have to do that.
No, there's, like we said, there are 38 different AP courses across all different subject areas, including political science and government.
Yes, okay.
So it's a great opportunity for students.
I greatly apologize for that part of this interview. Where do we go for more information?
ExploreAP.org.
Perfect.
On that website, parents, students, family members can actually see all of those different AP courses that we mentioned.
Yeah.
They learn more about the benefits of AP. Anything you need to know about AP, exploreap.org.
Hey, John, thank you for putting up with me. This is good stuff, though, and parents and students should know this information, and this is the time.
It's been a pleasure, Ron. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, John. Bye-bye.
Are you aware that one in every seven Americans is in desperate need of a dope slap? Studies show that every 17 seconds in America, someone writes, says, or does something so incredibly stupid that they deserve to be slapped, and you can help. If someone you know commits an act of boneheaded stupidity, Simply extend your hand with the palm facing to the side, draw your arm back, and deliver a sharp, solid blow straight across their forehead. It's called a dope slap. It only takes a moment to perform, but the lesson can last a lifetime. This has been a message from the American Dope Slap Association and Metro South Podcasting.
And quite a message it is as well. We're just about out of time for today. I'll be back next time, next weekday that comes up. I hope you join me then for a brand new show. By the way, if you'd like to get in touch with me, and I hope you don't, you can do me through the email Association of America, ronvandamshow@gmail.com, ronvandamshow@gmail.com. Or you can, I guess that's about it. You can go to the Facebook page. No, I don't know. Yeah, I guess. The Facebook page, New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. And have fun over there. And there's really nothing there to see, but I have to tell you that anyway, because I spent a lot of money to put it together. And if I don't mention it, then what's the point of even doing it to begin with? I really don't know. Have yourselves a wonderful day. Stay observant. Listen. I wish you peace. Okay? Are you done with me now? I think you are.